No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine, how are you going today?
Morena, Rachel, I'm good. How about you?
Good. It is lovely to chat to you. We've got plenty of questions from the BFM listeners. Unsurprisingly, a lot of them are around vaccination, moving into, or the possibility of moving into step two of alert level three. A lot of people in retail have texted us, and we've also got a bit of confusion about the traffic light system, so I think we're going to get stuck into it.
All fair enough questions.
There's a lot to process at the moment. Yeah. So yes, we've got some big ones. Somebody has texted us saying, "Hi, I'm in the early childhood sector and work as a part-time teacher. Due to unforeseen personal reasons, I was unable to return to work when Auckland was allowed to open under level 3 restrictions and in group bubbles of 10. Fast forward to now, I'm ready to return, but I can't due to the already established bubbles at work. My employer has stated that they will cut my pay back to 50% for a 2-week period and then requested I use my annual leave if we remain at alert level 3. Can they legally do this? And if I use up my annual leave, where would that leave me?"
Yeah, so the answer of whether they can legally do this is a good question, and I'm not sure that they can legally do this because you're ready and available to work, and they're not able to provide work for you due to, you know, a reduction in their services. And so that seems to me like a clear-cut wage subsidy scenario, where you should be receiving the full-time wage subsidy if they're not able to provide work for you, despite the fact that you're ready and willing. You know, while you were not in Auckland, that was a different story because you weren't available to work. So I can see that maybe in that scenario, you might have to come up with some alternative relation, an alternative arrangement. But in this case, yeah, you're ready and available to work, so that does worry me, and it sounds pretty dodgy, to be honest. NZEI is the union for primary school teachers and early childhood educators, and if you are a member, please do give them a ring, because I'm sure that they will be able to give you, I think we need a little bit more detail as well for me to give you just the best advice. So if you are a member of them, give them a ring. If not, it's a good time to become a member.
No time like the present.
Yeah, no time like the present. They won't be able to help you with any historical issues, I foresee a lot of stuff coming up, you know, as we transition and things like that, so no time like the present. Otherwise, the Young Workers Resource Centre has a call centre you can call as well. Yeah, to me this sounds dodgy, because you're ready and available to work, and I just think this sounds like a wage subsidy scenario, so I'm not sure why that hasn't been put on the table.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and at the very least, that's something that's worth possibly, thinking about as well. So I hope that is helpful for you. Definitely some good resources there. We've got some retail questions. What have you got there, Zoe?
Yeah, this person says, "Hi, Justine. Heading back to work in retail next week under Alert Level 3 Step 2. Pretty sure at the traffic light system we all need to be vaccinated, but not sure what the deal is now. I know I have an anti-vax co-worker and I'm stressed about being put on a shift with them. I floated it with my manager but haven't really heard anything concrete back."
Yeah. You know, I think like this is a consequence of the fact that we're kind of in limbo right now, where we haven't quite got to the stage where we have a proper vaccine passport system to keep, workers and everybody safe. So I really feel for this person. I think, you know, you kind of got to take matters into your own hands since, you know, as you said, the traffic light system isn't up and running yet, and so there isn't that requirement for people to be vaccinated just yet. Despite that, a lot of employers are requiring people to be vaccinated to come back in now, and they can go through a process, you know, like that. So I don't want you to think it's not in your employer's power to do something about this. It is, actually, and they should do it to keep you safe, probably. This is the problem of if we do have any unvaccinated people listening in. It's not really about individual choice, because the thing is, everybody else is implicated in your choice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I were you, I'd be saying, well, I'm not actually going to work. I'd be getting together with your colleagues and they're like, we're not comfortable working shifts with this person, you know. This is like long periods of time in, I would assume, small areas with an unvaccinated person. I mean, like, that's a risk to you, and I think you're you're well within your right to say, I'm not comfortable with that. You know, I always say this, but if you do have a health and safety rep at your workplace, you know, talk to them, they'll be able to help. It is a health and safety issue. I think you maybe need to use those words, that it's a health and safety issue at work, and your employer does have a responsibility to, you know, address that. I mean, look, it's funny because I think people need to feel a bit confident in raising these issues at the moment because there is a labour shortage. So employers want to keep you, especially in retail and hospitality. So raise the issues, okay?
Yes.
Be confident in that.
Is the workplace health and safety rep a good person to hit up for this kind of thing as well?
It is, yeah. It's just that I'm aware in, like, little workplaces, often we don't have health and safety reps, which is a real issue. So, yeah, definitely if you have a health and safety rep, they're the person to talk to. But you can still sort of raise it as a... Like, talk to your other coworkers and be like, are you comfortable working shifts with this person? And we need to raise that collectively. And, you know, it's not really good enough that they haven't come up with anything back to you. Like, no, you know. Employees need to be on the ball about this, and they need to take responsibility and they need to act. So, no, it's not good enough.
Well, we've kind of got the other side of this problem from another texter who has said that their boss is vaccinated, but only because of the mandate. They're really vocal about how much they hate it, etc. And whenever I bring it up, and other people do too at work, he gives me so much shit that it verges on bullying. I'm trying to think of a non-confrontational way to deal with this. I like my job, but not my boss.
Well, this is a good example of why mandates are good, right? Because at least you're safe.
Yeah, that's true.
You're safe with it. Look, I thought about this question because it is a difficult one. Like, I never really, like, it's always difficult to, like, raise an issue with a boss's behavior because it's just, you know, the power dynamic. Especially when you're not in a unionized workplace. In a unionized workplace, obviously, you have, you know, your delegates or elected representatives, and they can raise issues for you, which is just awesome.
Love that.
So unionize your workplace. Anyways, as always. But in terms of if you're not in a unionized workplace, how I would raise this is I might want to focus on the behavior, not necessarily the content of it, because I'm getting the impression you're not going to, you know, you're not going to convince him.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to convince him of that. And it might be a bit futile to get into a debate with him about why it's inappropriate for him to, you know, talk rubbish. You might focus on the behavior because you're saying it's verging on bullying. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I would say, like, this behavior, and like, address how it makes you feel and it makes you uncomfortable. And you know, like, I kind of recommend just saying, I don't want to talk about this. Like, can we just, if we can't agree, like, can we not talk about, you know, like, let's have a rule when we work, you know, like, when you walk into the workplace, we're not talking about this. Again, like, if your other coworkers are feeling uncomfortable, like, please raise this collectively. There's, you know, power in numbers. You feel more confident.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, I think if you are going to raise it on your own, focus on the behavior and just ask that we don't talk about it, and that it makes you uncomfortable. I think you're well within your rights to voice that. And if he has higher up and that doesn't work, so that's your first protocol. But if there is, like, someone beyond your boss, I would go there at that point, you know, if he doesn't listen to that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, irregardless of whatever the conflict is about, you shouldn't be being bullied at work, you know? So,
exactly. Yeah,
really important there. Thank you, Justine. That's been some very helpful advice. As per usual, we will link all of the various places you've spoken about in the podcast after the show. So for people who are listening in and either that was your question or that question sounds alarmingly familiar to you, then hopefully you can find some good resources. But yes, as always, solidarity forever. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, Justine.
Cheers, Rachel.
Ka kite.
Yeah, take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs. It is.